pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this time together. Thank you for this study and the work of Joan Gray, helping us to think about becoming more and more of a sailboat church, letting go of the oars, letting go of control, letting go of outcomes, and instead taking a deep breath, lifting our sails, feeling your spirit blowing us in the direction that you choose, helping us to learn how to cooperate with your spirit and to be co-workers in the gospel. We give you thanks for this time together and ask that you bless our time, the words and meditations of all of our hearts, that they would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Elizabeth and I got to hang out in North Newton, Kansas, which I've been told Kansas is one of the rectangular states, and it's the cold state. And now that I live in Florida, I cherish my time in cold states. So it was fun to be there and fun to see our friends and take part in the inauguration of the 15th president of Bethel College, a college that none of you knew existed. And we didn't know it existed either until we met them. But it was neat to be there and share stories and remember things that we had forgotten. And I was remembering an experience that I had in my last call, which is what Presbyterians call the churches that they served. They call them calls instead of churches. But anyway, so in the last congregation I served, I was on a committee and of some pastors and elders, and everybody was very excited because a new book came out, and it was about evangelism. But they said, no, don't worry, it's good. And they said, the Martha Grace Reese talked about how evangelism, she called it the E word. And I thought that was pretty funny. So even she knew that Presbyterians sort of were scared of evangelism because it might involve talking to someone else. So I thought, well, you know what? Maybe I've got a little group at the church. They might want to read this and see what it's like. So we got together on Tuesday nights, started to read this book together. And we sort of liked it. And it talked about prayer. It talked about how prayer was really important. Prayer was the first step. And so we all started to pray and read this book together. And at one point, along the little flow of what you're supposed to do, once you've studied the book together, you're supposed to go to the leaders of your church, talk about how they should all pray together. And they should pray right there at the beginning of the meeting. Now, Presbyterians, we're supposed to pray anyway at the beginning of the meetings. That's how we call our meetings to order, is through prayer. So I thought that they're gonna go for this big time. So we're supposed to pray, and the book said specifically we're supposed to ask for prayers for ourselves, what it is we most need in our lives. We're supposed to share that, and we're supposed to share it out loud and pray for everybody around the table. It doesn't take too much longer, and it's very transformative. So our class went, and we presented this to the session. We said, this is what we should do. We should pray, ask for prayers for ourselves, and go around, and that's how we'll begin our meetings. It'll be amped up. Our prayer will not just be a formality that starts our meetings. It's going to be a powerful, transformative time. Now, you'd think that's a home run, right? And this is something I would have to say I'm still sort of processing after 2008, so 10 years. I'm still kind of trying to come to grips with this, what happens next in real life. Even though I know I'm narrating this to you as a story, and it doesn't seem like real life maybe to you, it happened to me in my real life. Not my video game life, which is what we talk about at home sometimes. Look up. It's real life right happening right now. So anyway, in real life, I suggested and my class suggested we should pray. And one of the elders objected. No. We shouldn't do this. And then this person said, I don't know you people. I don't know you. I'm not going to tell you what's going on with me. I don't think we should do this. Now, that's one of those moments as a pastor where you kind of go to, you want to look to your, like if you could sit next to yourself, I would have turned to myself and said, is this really happening? Is there a Presbyterian elder who's saying we shouldn't pray? The joke is always like, who's going to vote against prayer? Well, somebody was right then voting against prayer. We shouldn't pray. And not only, it gets worse, I'll kind of cut this off, but not only should we not pray, this person didn't want to feel bad that they didn't want to pray. And so rather than having it at the beginning of the meeting, Presbyterians like to try to make, you know, let's not make a fuss and let's try to make everybody happy. So it was decided that we would meet somewhere else for prayer, maybe before the meeting, and that way people who wanted to go could go to that and they wouldn't feel bad and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Basically what happens is a lot of casualness, not a lot of purpose, and it never really worked. Never worked. And the whole idea behind the book sort of just fell apart. And so I've been thinking about that, right? I've been thinking about that for nearly 10 years. How did that really happen in real life? Not even in a video game. Not even in the most boring video game that would ever be played, the Presbyterian video game. It happened in real life. A person voted against prayer. But I'm trying to think about, like, okay, what's going on with that, right? Why is it? We can be uncomfortable, if we're honest, we can be uncomfortable with prayer. Some of us in this very room, I bet, have prayed silently that we would never have to pray aloud, right? You know, who would like to pray? And then you go, please, Lord, don't let it be me. Don't let him call on me. I don't want to say, please, please, Jesus, not me. And then, like, oh, John will do it. Like, and you go, thank you, God, thank you. You're like in this amazing, you're already there. You're in this great spirit of prayer, right? Well, we can be uncomfortable about praying out loud. We're self-conscious. What would I say? What if I stammer? You know, all that stuff. What will people, remember those lies we talked about? I am what people say about me. Well, if I was really good at prayer, I'd feel great about, oh, but if I stammer, maybe they'll think something, maybe, you know. So we get real kind of all twisted up about it, and that's why, for instance, that's why sometimes in America, in evangelical America, if you don't know what to say, you can just say Father God as many times as possible, right? You've heard those prayers. Or you can say the word just. Just keep saying just. Just, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just, it's like, whoa, we don't need so many justs. Just allow time for nothing. Don't say a word until you think of what to say. It's okay to have silence, right? I'm just making a little fun there. So we can be kind of twisted up about it. So I spend a little time thinking about that, going, okay, that's one way to let somebody off the hook. Well, obviously this elder was uncomfortable with the vulnerability of prayer, didn't want to share what was going on with her or him or whoever this elder might be in case this is being recorded for life. It was a robot. It's the only session member who is a robot. The other thing about this that I was thinking about was that, what if prayer is just too powerful, right? Because James has a line, and there's so much in this last chapter that we sort of just want to focus on this one little line. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So what if this elder was actually helping us all out? This person, he or she, or the robot, was helping us out. Because if we did pray as a session, out loud, right? If I did say what was going on with me and ask for prayers, if somebody else shared what was going on with them, right? My relationship with my child is, we're feeling disconnected. There's estrangement there. I don't know what to do. We're having trouble with our finances. we only pay bills if they say final notice, right? We don't know what's going to, if we really shared what was going on with us, we would be vulnerable. We would start to care more about each other. We would be more connected. I mean, what would happen? That could be disastrous, right? Our lives would be disrupted. We couldn't just do business as usual. We couldn't be as casual as we'd like to be. That person was helping us out. Prayer is too powerful. It's too effective, right? We don't want that. But maybe we do. Or maybe we don't. We want something in between. Like, can you give me a third option? You know, Presbyterians like that. What's the middle way? Those seem both kind of extreme, Mike. Let's just move a little. Okay, right? So I'm thinking about this invitation that we have. James is giving us an invitation. The Holy Spirit through James is giving us this invitation for prayer. We all pray all the time already. It's no mistake that the word Presbyterian, I believe, is an anagram for best at prayer. So you can do that work on your own. I also discovered another anagram this week that listen and silent. It's an anagram. It's very satisfying. So that's what you can do when you can't sleep. If you're done with praying, you can work on anagrams. You can just, it's not the same as the Enneagram. That's totally different. And also squirrel. So we all pray all the time already, but we don't pray out loud with another person, right? Or we don't pray maybe out loud and everybody takes turns. That's what's so terrific about Sunrisers, right? Sunrisers that meets on Tuesday mornings in Malden Hall at 7 a.m., 6:50. If you are smart, you get here a little early, get a couple extra cups of coffee in. But at the end of our time, after our devotion, we go around the table and everybody prays out loud. And it's fascinating. It's great to hear other people's faith expressed through their prayer. I think it is a powerful and effective experience because we hear all the different facets of what we've been talking about. Every person has a different personality. Every person kind of hears a little differently, and so they focus on something differently. It's a powerful time, and I've really appreciated every Tuesday morning when I can go to be there with those people and experience their faith, and that's enriched me. That enriches me. So this is an example, I think, of this invitation we have to pray, not just alone, which we're probably pretty comfortable doing, but with others aloud. So think a little bit about how being a community of prayer leads into being a community of care. How our prayer life, not just individually, but in small groups, out loud, when we're vulnerable, when we stammer, how that can cause us to care more, right? You hear about an issue when someone prays aloud, and you start to incorporate that into the daily rhythms of your prayer life. Right? And you care more and you ask, what's going on with so-and-so? Right? So our prayer influences how we care, and then how we care goes right back into our individual prayer. And it's just a little cycle, like a little infinity symbol or an eight on its side. They just continue to flow into one another. We care about one another more and more. We pray more and so on and so forth. Okay? Let me show you a little video here. The most terrifying video, if this was an internet thing, I would say, this Halloween, the scariest video of all time, or something like that. This only makes it more scary. We're just stuck in anticipation mode. Could be anything. You don't know what's coming next. Except I might start singing Technology is Our Friend.
Riding a virtual ball in space. Make a place green.
Wind doesn't sound
good. I'm tired.
So what's that explain to all this?
If you can't fool the straw,
I yet to know that any good.
Video really terrifies me the more I think about it. Let's just take a second and kind of break that down a little bit, and then I'll tell you kind of why that applies to today and maybe draw back a little bit and how it applies to kind of everything we've been talking about. So obviously that comes from the movie WALL-E. We always have a vested interest here in Florida in Disney things. WALL-E's the little robot. He's a cute little guy. And we share his perspective in this little clip because he's observing something that he's never seen before. Now, we've talked about sailing and ships, and I've learned that boats go on ships, ships don't go on boats. I think that was important for my education. This is taking place in a big space cruiser. It's effectively a cruise ship. They've left Earth because Earth is no longer inhabitable. So they're kind of just floating off in space until maybe they can return, if they ever can return to Earth. So they're floating around, and here we have all these people. They're all together, but they're all together separate, right? And the way they interact isn't face-to-face, but through a lot of screens, right? And then the diet soda thing just made me feel even worse, right? Bot, give me my diet soda. Oh, I was like, oh man. So actually, later on in the movie, you learn that a lot of them are having a lot of physical atrophy, right? Their bones are maybe stopping, not being connected anymore. They're just kind of like, they can't actually get up and support their own weight. So this video, the more you think about it, it's worse. Let me just add one other piece to this to make us all feel really terrible, because that's why we come to church, to feel really terrible, to feel really terrible. The way we're watching this video is in a chair, right? Together but alone, in a theater originally. Now, alone on a tiny screen in front of our faces. So we've been, you know, we've kind of been suckered into this thing. So our challenge, and this is where the church is beyond compare, like the church is an organization beyond compare in 2018, because now we are together in one space, young and old, rubbing elbows together around the donuts, right, with our sugar on our chins, all together, not confined out by different ages, but we're all together in real life. We can talk to each other. We can have those casual conversations that we need to have so that we can become familiar enough and close enough and friends enough to share the important things more one-on-one. We can have those connections, those relationships. We can build that care that then builds that prayer life that continues to build that community of care that we've talked about today. All the things, this video really presents to me. Obviously, it's a critique of the world we live in now, but I think it can also be a critique of the church, too. We never want to be, we want to be better than this, right? Our connections should be deeper than that, shouldn't they? You know, our communication should be better than just a video chat. We don't need to have a Wi-Fi, a strong Wi-Fi signal to talk face-to-face. You know, FaceTime used to just mean talking to each other face to face, you know. Now we can't even say, I got a little FaceTime with, you know, Noah the other day. Like, you did? You guys were on FaceTime? No, we're actually in the same room talking to each other, you know. So as the church, we can use all of the natural built-in aspects of church to foster those deeper connections, stronger compassion, better communication, time to pray alone, we can call that contemplation, time to pray together, to deepen our community of care, right? This is, it's just sitting here for us, right? God is presenting it. That's why I wanted to add the word call to this. You know, we're called to be a community of care. God is calling us to do this. God is offering this to us, inviting us to do it. But we sort of have to decide, right? We can keep on rowing, just keep on rowing, keep on sitting in the floaty chair. You know, I like the floaty chair with the little video and the diet soda. It's delicious. But there's something else, right? We can object to prayer. Many have, apparently. But we can also pick up this invitation. So let's pray about that, shall we? Hey God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for your servant James and this powerful book that we've only barely scratched the surface of. We thank you for this community of care that we're a part of. We do feel the care of one another as we gather for worship and as we gather for Sunday school and various teams and organizations that we're a part of here. But we ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you could strengthen that we could be open to the vulnerability, to the stammering that happens when we step out and try something new, when we pray aloud for one another or when we ask for prayers for ourselves. Help us to be willing to risk, let go of control, and to see what happens. See what happens when we fall out of our chairs. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.